Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Your life is under a divine appointment. God created you in His image and sent you into this world with a purpose. And the purpose enables you to live your life through the storms of life, because life will include the storms, but it's not about the storms. Life includes the storms because the rough and tumble in this world is exactly to be overcome by the people of God, so others may know that they too can make it through those storms. When you wake up in the morning, know that you're waking up a winner in Christ. When you wake up in the morning, know that you have a divine appointment in that day to live your life with God's purpose, and therefore to have a confidence in your humility and live with boldness, uniquely who you are in light of Him. Billy Graham, known around the world because of how he was true to a divine appointment. He first preached in First Baptist Church of Burney, Texas in 1946. So if you want to know the secret to his greatness, there it is. That's right. 3 years before the great Los Angeles revival, 3 years before Henry B. Luce of the Luce Time Life publication powerhouse told all of his reporters to puff Graham. Now, that was not the secret for Billy's success. But God worked through that power broker in this world like he worked through King Cyrus in the Old Testament. God will work through the resources in this world in order to accomplish his purpose. But what Billy did, as you know, is he had a special relationship with Trinity Baptist Church. He stayed humble, he stayed true, and he stayed focused on the Christ. But you probably have noticed about great people, as I have noticed, is that a great person is sized up by how he or she helps other people to know that they are great, that they can be great, that God's greatness inside of them, that no one is more important than someone else. So even Jesus said, because his saying it made it true for all of us, that even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. As you live the divine appointment of your life, and then to move through your life, enabling others to know that God sees greatness in them and to be able to claim that. Now, we can always put faith up against a worst case scenario, and so Josh read for us a passage out of the storms that Jesus walked across in the Sea of Galilee. And we tag culture, as Vicki said in our welcome today, we tag our culture with the gospel, and the Stock Show and Rodeo of San Antonio influences our region, and it's a world-class event. And so Rodeo Sunday is not so we can dress up like cowboys and cowgirls, but because, one, it's true to our heritage, and because we're not dressing up to be someone we're not, we're being who we are and sharing the gospel of Christ in our culture. That's why when you go out there and you see a cowboy on a horse and he's roping, he knows how to do that. He has practiced how to do that. And when you see the little ones getting their boots on and the cowboy's hats, you know that they're kind of learning in a way of how to do that. It's our culture. It's where we are. Now, my family's side, on my mother's side, are ranchers and farmers, and we were the town people, and I'm not a rancher by trade, a farmer by profession, but I have great respect of what gets accomplished by being connected to the earth and letting God grow from the earth life. Now, that's what I am called to do, from life in God's great creation, and so are you. Know that you have a home in God's family. Now, God showed his ability to calm our stormy lives, and John gives three descriptions in this remarkable, miraculous scene from John 6. Now, the purpose of that story wasn't simply to create a big show to get applause, but in the midst of that 3 a.m. scene of Jesus walking across the stormy sea, he was communicating to the 12 apostles on the boat that whatever's going to come your way, know that it's not bigger than me. Know that I can calm the storm. So don't be afraid. Now, how do we do that? And that's our 3 takeaways. But when we were remodeling our sanctuary with God is power, we chose 4 artworks that are in the foyer, in the entryway out there, and one of them is of this scene. So that we can remind it when we look at any one of those artworks that there is a scene there that we say, that's me, I'm in that situation. And maybe the week that you've just finished or the week you're about to have or a season of life that you're into has felt like the stormy Sea of Galilee. And know that Christ walks to you. And simply ask that you stay focused on him and he'll see you through. We see first that it was dark and the seas were getting rough. Just taking the text out of the scripture and letting it speak to us, it was 3 a.m. and Jesus had told the apostles, go ahead and get in the boat because after we fed more than 5,000 people, I need some time alone and I'm going to pray. But you go ahead and get in the boat and go to the other side and I'll meet you along the way. I'm sure they were curious exactly how is he going to meet us along the way? Where is he going to meet us along the way? But they were obedient to do what he had told them. And what Christ shows for you is that he is present in the middle of the storms, not in spite of the storms. God doesn't wait for us to get all cleaned up and get our lives right and then for us to come to him because we can never get that beautified. He does it for us as we let him shape our character. On the radio show this morning, there was Tommy Brandt, who was leading out in music at the Cowboy Church this morning, just told the story about his how he came to faith and discipleship, of how he was in a successful country and western band. He was playing in places where Johnny has played, and he was wanting to get on that road that Johnny would get to, and Johnny's a legend in our midst. Tommy was wanting to go that direction, but he was doing so without Christ. And he was lonely and he was lost, but he looked like to everyone else he was succeeding and soaring. And then a beautiful lady walked in, caught his eye, but God worked through her that he could see that God had already seen Tommy in his desperation in the storm of his life. She said, I'll date you, but first we have to read the Bible, and that family Bible. And he said, he winked at his drummer and said, I can do that. They had a 6-hour session with the Bible on the first day. And God got a hold of his heart and transformed him out of a faith in Christ. And he spent 2 years going through transformation before he was ready to step back out with his whole life getting reformed, remade in this power of Christ. 2:00 today, we'll be hearing from August and family that's gathered here about the shaping of his life or a call to ministry with he and Jesse. I told you the Audrey story and the baptism, your story. This divine appointment to be under the way and the purposes of God. Now, the apostles of Christ in that boat knew that any given time, the storms could blow because from the Mount Hermon to the north, winding off the top of the mountain down below on the sea, it could create a storm when it collided to the winds coming from the west off the Mediterranean Sea or the Negev Desert to the south. They knew they had to know how to sail in stormy waters, but it was so hard then they weren't able to sail. They were having to row, and at 3 a.m. they had barely gotten halfway across the sea. And then comes fear knocking on their life. Where is Jesus? Secondly, Jesus still hadn't showed up. It was getting dark and darker, and the storms were blowing. They couldn't see the stars in the sky. And there, they realized that God had not abandoned him, had they? Maybe today you've wondered that. I was talking to a very courageous lady earlier. Her husband recently died, and they had shared life together, and she said that when she wakes up in the morning, she could feel that, and then she felt the joy She felt the joy of God's mercies guiding her through the day. It was like, oh, she gave me permission to share this part of the story. And then it was like his mercies were becoming her pathway by which she could live through that day. And that when the grief gets hard, she remembers her, she first becomes grateful, and her gratitude shows her the joy that God is good and gives life. It gives life eternal to her husband now in heaven, and gives life meaning for her on earth. That's a stormy time in life. And she realizes that Jesus is joining her in the morning to live her day. Now, God will trust you enough in these between times, though, and in the midst of the storm. He wants you and me to stretch. Part of what made Billy so great is that John 3:16 stretched his mind where he would never be small-minded or closed-hearted. When our lives are stretched to the fullness and the bigness of Christ, it transforms us a way in which we see everything in light of him. And Jesus said, you think the storm is on the sea is tough now. Wait to see what's coming. Crucifixion before the resurrection. Opposition, as well as making of the church. You got all kinds of storms that will create headwinds blowing up in your life, trying to knock you off center. But know that you keep your eyes on me and you will find your way. That's what we do for each other. Another gentleman I got to meet this morning is here for the first time because one of you invited him to come. That's what we do. Our hearts are open. Our lives are open. We need each other. We invite each other for us to be together in this great experience of life. And so as those conversations outside the Cowboy Church on the Sunday mornings we've been having these last three Sundays have been different guests. And each one, though, telling a common story in the diversity of their life and the variety of their life experiences, but in a common way, by how the same Christ has come to them to meet the needs of their life, to show them a future, knowing that storms will be coming, but because that Christ has been with them in the storms of the past, they know that he'll be with them whatever is yet to happen. You've noticed that about your life, right? You've noticed that when you go, whew, boy, I'm glad when that was over. It's just God preparing you for even a more demanding challenge ahead of you. Been there, done that isn't God's language. Been there, done that in order for us to see more clearly what he has in the future. So don't be afraid. That's one thing to be told not to be afraid. But how is it we're not afraid? Because Jesus shows up. Jesus walked across the water. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And they called out in fear. And Jesus said, do not be afraid. It is I. The I Am had showed up. Now take courage and turn your fear into faith and your faith into faithfulness. I mean, later this week, I encourage you to read the whole chapter of John 6. It opens with Jesus seeing the more than 5,000 people there. They only counted men back then. So we know there were at least that many women and children. And Jesus counted everybody. More than 10,000 people. And Jesus had some mischievous fun. And he said, how are we going to feed all these people? And Philip said, we can't. And Andrew says, well, there's this little boy who gave me a sack lunch, and I got 5 barley loaves, that's the poor man's bread, and got 2 fish kind of been dried off the marketplace, and he's going to give us what he has. And Jesus says, that's enough. He took that boy's lunch, and he fed the many. Now, he fed the many because it had its miraculous way of multiplying, and also because people got in the spirit of it, and they shared what they had. They shared what they had with each other, and then they were united in a common experience with Christ being what he said is the bread of life. Jesus, in this passage, in this miracle, in this story, is when he delivers the line that I am the bread of life. The bread of life, not just that we would eat for a meal, but the bread of life. And he said, now, if you will come to me, I will feed you, and you will never be hungry again or thirsty again. I am the bread of life. Memorize John 6:48. and meditate on it. Know that's your promise. Keep your eyes on the bread of life. So when God says, have courage, not alone, but look at me. And when you have courage and you look at me, then, like that boy in a sack lunch, your fear can be turned into something greater. It can be turned into faith, and your faith can be turned into something remarkable, and that's faithfulness. And then you will become a living experience and illustration into the lives of others. Norm Grimmett, last Sunday morning at about 7:30, and we stood right over there because knowing that the next day he'd be driving, no, that afternoon, that Sunday afternoon, he'd be driving to Houston for surgery on a Monday morning, an open heart surgery that was successful. And so in the recovery, you see that big old heart pillow that he's holding? That's the size of Norm's heart of faith. That we can have a heart of faith the size of God's trust working in our life, and then to have a confidence of what he will provide for us if we will let him. Ride him, cowgirl. Ride him, cowboy. Don't ask for another bronco or another bull to ride. If that's the one that you have, you can ride it out. God will see you through the ride. And when you get off, others will see what God did in you and give them courage for what God will do with them. And Debbie Sermon, she talked about how the clown now is called a bullfighter, right? The Apostle Paul talked about being a clown for Christ. He said there are times that the best in our life will look like a foolishness into this world. So at times we are called to be as a clown for Christ. Why? Because in that, people will first underestimate God's power and what he can provide, and yet they will see in our life what he can do. And to be in the rescue business in the lives of others. Johnny's daughter Gay is right over there. She helps us as a church to be active in the heartbeat of women recovering from chemical addictions. It's called Alpha Home. You talk about life getting scary. Nowhere else to go. Where can I go? Well, I can go into one of those homes at Trinity Baptist Church. I can step into some relationships of our larger community. And God will get me clean, allow me to be sober, allow me to heal broken relationships with my family, allow me again to see my children, allow me to again take my talents and use them for his purposes in our world. Boy, that's the kind of courage that just vibrates the transforming power of the gospel. And our Alpha Home women say, if God can do it with me, he can do it with you. Do it with us. So, have you seen him? The disciples knew that the great I Am had showed up. Do you? Let's pray. Living Lord God, we are grateful for your promise that greets us right now, centers us right now, centers us in an uncentered world, because the Christ of the cross leads us through the crises of life. Now we open ourselves and say, work with me, shape me. This blessed assurance, Jesus, oh Jesus, amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.